Then finally, as usual, we go very quickly towards the end.
Okay, so we're looking at agenda paper 9A, which is about the research programme. The main thing that's happened since we last talked is that in February the board looked at the research pipeline. As a reminder, the research pipeline are projects that are not yet active projects, but they're ones that the board intends to work on and do substantial work on over the current agenda cycle, which runs to about 2021. Mm-hmm. And in February, the board sorted those into two buckets. The first bucket, listed in paragraph 3, are the ones that we intend to start up at some point over this year. We haven't started any of them yet, but we plan to do so over the next few months. And then paragraph 4 lists the rest of the research pipeline, which we'd aim to start up either next year or early 2020. The other thing I wanted to highlight is about post-implementation reviews, and the discussion there starts in paragraph 6. And we have a specific question for you there. So we, at the moment, we have two PIRs that we plan to do. One is a PIR that we're required to do of the consolidation standards, IFRS 10, IFRS 11, IFRS 12. And secondly, after the last agenda consultation, the board decided to do a PIR of IFRS 5 on discontinued operations, long-term assets, in order to disposal, because quite a lot of issues had come up through the Interpretations Committee. So we've got a couple of specific questions for you on page 8, and then a general question if you have any other comments. So the specific questions are about the timing of the PIRs of IFRS 10, 11 and 12. Now, we've debated several times in this group before when is the best time to do a PIR. We're required to think about doing it roughly 2 years after the standard has been applied in, internationally. We don't have to do it as early as that, and we've discussed several times with you when is the best time to do it. So we'd like some advice from you on when is the best time to start up the reviews of 10, 11 and 12. And the second question is, are they best done as a single review of the entire package of three standards, or is it better to split it into components? And probably the two obvious components might be either consolidation, so IFRS 10 basically, separately from associates and joint ventures, IFRS 11, or perhaps the whole package, but think separately about investment entities, because that amendment was made rather later and maybe creates slightly different issues. So we very much welcome any feedback you have on the best timing for the PIR of 10, 11 and 12 and whether it's best done as a single package or more than one package.
Andreas?
Thanks. Before answering, could I just ask a question on that one? Could you shed a bit more light as to what would encompass a post-implementation review of 10, 11, and 12. So if you said the first year you won't hear from us because it will bind us internally, then I would say, okay, get started yesterday. If it was, we would need your feedback rather sooner than later, and obviously there's a staff shortage, and therefore we cannot really do it. I mean, that might inform us. So could you elaborate a little bit of how long you envisage that process to last based on the PIRs that you've already seen?
It's a bit difficult to tell because each one's been a bit different and we've only done three so far anyway, and this one is probably different from the previous three. So the first step will be doing scoping, try and identify the issues to look at. What we'd aim to look at is the issues that were contentious when the standards were being developed. So that would be the main point. As a reminder, we do it in two stages. The first stage is kind of limited outreach and discussion, trying to identify where the sort of soft spots are. Then we discuss that and decide whether to go on to the second stage, which is a request for information and get more sort of formal feedback from people, either on the whole review or on targeted parts of it. For IFRS 13, for example, we did it on targeted questions after the first stage. How long it'll take up, to be honest, I don't know, because I don't think we'll have a good idea of that until we're a little bit into the scoping anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
But we're certainly not planning to start up this year. So,
Given that we heard comments about the equity method before, I would say at the earliest point in time possible, I think that would be appreciated. Given that there was particular issues around the equity method, that might be an indication of divorcing 10 from 11. But what I can't foresee at the moment is really whether there are cost-cutting issues. And so if you fix one problem, would you simultaneously create a new one? So probably go for it holistically at the start, but then see whether you'd be better advised to actually break it up.
Yeah, and the other thing I should have mentioned on that is that the pipeline project on the equity method, which is not one we plan to start up this year, we said the best time to do that is after we've at least started the PIR of IFRS 11, because that might generate some useful input.
Andrew.
Thanks. Now, I'll just briefly back up what Andreas has said. Based on our soundings, then I would say start the review of the package as soon as resources permit, but if resources are a constraint, then please prioritise the IFRS 11 and related parts of IFRS 12 chunk, partly because, based on our limited outreach so far, that seems to be where more questions and implementation problems have arisen, but also because of the point you make about this evidently being on the critical path for the research project on IS 28, on which in EFRAG's view, anyway, the recent amendments or clarifications to IS 28 on long-term interests have further strengthened the case to get on with that piece of research.
Yukio?
Yeah, we think, as Andreas mentioned, that some issues on equity method have been unresolved because the equity method project or the PIR of IFRS 11 has not yet started. So in order to understand the stakeholders' views and contribute to the discussion surrounding the equity method accounting, we think the ISB should start the PIR of IFRS 11 and the equity method project area. Linda.
Thanks. So we had a look at some of the issues that came up with regard to 10, 11, and 12. Our view is that given that IFRS 12 contains some of the disclosures for 10 and 11, that they're better placed altogether. I hadn't thought about the investment entities, Peter, and so that might be something that could naturally be postponed, but in general, we think it's better put together. For us, IFRS 11 had a number of issues. So if we look at the stats from our IFRS discussion group, we had 12 separate issues that were discussed on IFRS 11. That's actually quite a high number in terms of if we look at kind of the pattern. And we had 4 issues on IFRS 10. The main issue for us on 10 was that we went earlier, and then when there was when Europe came into play, some of the decisions around interpretations were the terms you're making were revisited. So our stakeholders ended up getting a lot of noise over that. Our view is that you can choose when to time it based on your priorities, but our view is that from a stakeholder perspective, it's better placed if you do it all at the same time.
Wasim?
Thank you, Pez. Most AOSSG members agreed to start PRRs for IFRS 10, 11, and 12 as soon as possible. About how to carry out the PIRs, AOSSG members have different considerations. A majority AOSSG members support to conduct PIRs for these IFRS as a single project. However, some AOSSG member suggests that separation them is good. One member observes that quite a considerable number of constituents are still having a difficult time dealing with the requirements in IFRS 10 for assessing control of an investee, which are mainly principle-based and thus require ample judgment in the process. This LSSG member suggests that if any resources limited is an obstacle, the PIR of IFRS 10 alone could be embarked on first and then be followed by PIR of IFRS 11 and 12. And considering that ISB has published the revised conceptual framework, we suggest the ISB speed up these research projects that are related with the new conceptual framework, for example, the prudent pricing mechanisms. That's all.
Thank you, Hans. So we would support doing all the three together because they're all basically integrally linked, not just as part of the disclosures, but I think the control and the joint control and all of those decisions actually all come together. So it'd be quite difficult to do them in pieces, but I do take the point that there's perhaps more emphasis and concern about some of the equity issues. I think there's always a bit of a challenge as to when you go, but I think these are quite big and complex standards, so I think the earlier you start on them, I think you get a better understanding of where those particular issues are going to go. So if I look at in Australia, particularly with 10, some of the issues are being around predetermined activities. People haven't always been very comfortable with some of the outcomes of where the standards landed. And then, in particular, managed investment schemes have been particularly, the trust fund structures have been particularly problematic. So,
we support starting the PIR of IFRS 10, 11, and 12, and we prefer to have these projects undertaken as separate projects at the same time. That's it.
If there are no more comments on that, I should just see if anybody has any other comments or questions on the rest of the research programme.
Russ, yes.
So, I was looking at your agenda, and it struck me as you've had a lot of projects in research, and then you have the pipeline projects, and you have very few in standards. Are the research projects ones that are on your active agenda that you are proceeding towards, or are you just trying to decide if you're going to do anything? So
it's the preparatory work, as it were, for.
So there will be another decision as to whether or not you're going to actually decide that you're going to do something. So a pipeline is before that. It's like pre-research.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. It's just projects that we have identified that we want to work on, but we have no capacity at this moment.
So the research projects are at the board table. It's just that they're more at the preparation for a discussion paper type stage.
Okay.
Than further down the track.
So realistically, if you were to start the pipeline projects in 2018, when would there be capacity to actually do that at the standards level? Are we talking?
It varies by the project. So some of them are quite narrow and fairly focused and could go relatively quickly, and some will be much bigger. So one end of the spectrum probably is pension benefits that depend on asset returns, which is a very narrow, defined issue that could go quite quickly if it's successful. The other end, extractives, which could be enormous, depending on which way.
Other insurance.
the only one on here that is similar to the FASB's agenda at this point is the variable and contingent consideration. We're working on that. The SMEs that are subsidiaries, we have had the issue related to private companies that are subsidiaries of public companies. It's very challenging. The standalone, they want the private company version, but at consolidation, they'd have to change it. So it's a very challenging issue. I understand why you have it. We have recently tried to do something related to equity methods, but following exposure, we stopped. Although there still is a push for us to restart that project that we stopped. So I don't know what we're going to do on that.
Any other comments or questions?
So shall I just sum up what I heard from the advice on the 10, 11, 12, which I think is the overall message seems to be start as quickly as you reasonably can, I think. And there were mixed views about whether it's best done as one package or more than one. There's probably a slight bias, probably slightly more saying do 11 first, but some also felt we should do 10 first. Is that a fair summary?
So if we turn to agenda paper 9, which is the normal project update and agenda planning paper that ASAP members receive. So appendix, if I start from the back of the paper, actually, that's probably easier. Appendix C summarises the advice that you gave us at the last meeting and sets out how we've use that and where you can find the advice in the board papers. Then Appendix B gives you an overview of where we are on our projects at the moment and where we've sought advice in the past from ASAF. And then Appendix A sets out a proposed agenda for the July meeting. So if we turn to the questions, do ASAF members have any comments on the proposed agenda topics for the July meeting, or do you have matters that you would like to bring from your jurisdiction?
So by mid-June, we will have published our first draft of our corporate performance measures, alternative performance measures, whatever we're going to call it, guidance, and we would like to get input from ASAF members with regard to the document. We think it's germane to your project on primary financial statements as well. So we would offer to bring that topic forward.
Excellent. Andrew?
It's just on the equity instruments impairment and recycling project with FRAG's name against it for July. We currently have a consultation paper open for comment until May the 25th. I think it's very highly unlikely that FRAG would have formed any positions by the time of the July meeting. You never know, but I just think it's unlikely, so I'd need to take a sounding from the FRAG board as to whether this was the right time to actually bring a discussion to the ASAF. It'd be very helpful. Happy to give an update either way, but put a question mark against that item.
Blessing.
Thank you. AOSSG agrees the approved agenda topic for the next ASAF meeting. Beside that, one member would like to recommend that ISB and ASAF could take stock of the state of implementation of major new standards at next meeting. For example, noted challenges, types of issues, and whether what or more implementation support efforts are needed as we approach the first application year end for IFRS 9 and IFRS 15. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Andrea.
Right. That's okay. I was just looking at the agenda, and partially Andrew has probably answered my issue. On the agenda, you suggest two items that we just discussed at the IFAS meeting. And given that there is some overlap between the participants that participated in IFAS and also in this table, the question for me is any particular research question that you would like us to investigate further and bring to the table when this is discussed, or turned around differently? I mean, what extra knowledge do you expect that we gain from the discussion, or that you gain from the discussion?
So I think the business combinations under common control, when I put it on the agenda here, we weren't sure whether it was going to IFAS, so I'll talk to Hong Kong and see about that as well. But also, it will have been a while since we discussed the ISB's project with the ISB staff, and the board will have made some tentative decisions. So I think it might be useful for the staff of the project to hear what ASAF say directly as well. So even if it's only a short session, I'd quite like to keep it, because I think it's kind of different from having that information firsthand to getting it via my notes secondhand. What was the other one?
Equity instruments.
Oh, the equity instruments we've discussed.
Okay. To the end of our meeting. Okay, a bit early. Thank you very much. I think it was a good meeting. Safe travel home. Our doctor is ready to go.